They mangled the English language and won our hearts in the process. And now we have our very own Kath and Kim moment. The home, made famous by the self-titled Foxy Morons, is being open to fans, and Alan Rascal was given a preview.
Here's your statue, Mum.
What the love of God is that?
No, it's a statue you want.
I actually look very good for my age.
You should see the look I get.
You're a baby.
I need to get out and go inside myself.
Just search my case
and it's funny.
Little baby Jesus, Kim Jesus.
I'm socially brain dead.
What? I spent hours assembling that.
You're listening to Look at
My.
Look at My.
Look at My. Hi, my name's Connor.
And my name's Emma.
And we've decided to start our very own Kath and Kim review podcast. Are you excited, Emma?
I am so excited. You are possibly the only person I've ever met that shares my love of Kath and Kim. It's a cult classic.
It really is. And I always get upset when like people haven't seen it before, because it's life-changing, to be honest.
Like it's just one of those things. It's like The Office or Peep Show. Like, it's so quotable. And I actually know people that have never heard of it.
Me too. I mean, this is to the extent that how like it's random. Like my sister, I made my sister and my mum watch it when I go back home to Scotland. And like, it's in the evening, we've had a few drinks, and I get them to watch it, and they're like, what the hell am I watching? And then my sister goes to a random house party full of gays, and they
full of the bloody gays,
full of the bloody gays, and they all quote Kath and Kim. And my sister's like, I've seen Kath and Kim,
I'm an ally.
Yeah. We've known each other for a very long time. We met at uni, and we've realized that our tastes in certain ways align together. And I think our taste for Kath and Kim is very important.
Very. I think we have the same taste in a lot of things. Music, men. and of course, most importantly, Kath and Kim. It's the glue that holds this friendship together.
So the layout at the moment, you're back at home and I'm still in Brighton. We met in Brighton, but we have no barriers when it comes to this podcast, and we want to hopefully there'll be some times where we'll be able to be in the same space, and that will be something to look out for.
Yeah, we are lucky enough that we get to see each other now that all the lockdowns are over. We do get to see each other face to face quite a lot now, don't we?
Yes.
We put in the time, we put in the effort.
At the moment, yeah, I'm kind of just, I work and then I come home and then I watch Kath and Kim, or I just chill.
That's your life.
Yeah, that's my life.
tell viewers, I want a deep dive into the life of Connor. What is it you do?
Right, so I managed to get a job straight out of uni, and I work at an arts charity as an events and ops assistant. So I do all of the fun stuff, like help create events or put on exhibitions and liaise with artists. But I also get to look after leaks and power cuts and changing light bulbs. So it's the best of both worlds.
When you said leak, I genuinely thought that you meant like the vegetable.
No.
I was like, what the fuck is that? Connor, what the fuck are you talking about? But no, you are amazing at what you do. You're very good at what you do. And you've been part of a lot of impressive projects.
Thank you. That's
just my humble opinion, babe.
Yeah. You've also done something quite exciting recently.
So... like Connor said, we met in Brighton. We went to uni together. So we've known each other a good few years now. And when the pandemic hit, I think, when was it originally? So sort of like the end of 2020, I was kind of like, oh, I was furloughed from my bar job in Brighton. It kind of wasn't really doing it for me. And I was like, oh, I might have to move home. So I did a master's at home, from home, But it also meant that I had to move back in with my parents. So that's currently where I am now. I stayed.
I mean, the fact that you've managed to do your master's during a global pandemic is fucking insane. So kudos to you, mate, honestly.
Thanks, hun.
Like, and you still had to go out and do things and liaise with people, and you had to get all of your shit together, and you did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. And I did it. And it's over now. So now I'm currently just unemployed. I graduated. When did I graduate? Last week, week before?
Yeah.
Now I'm just unemployed.
This is fresh out of the bat. Well, you never know. Good things come to those who wait.
They do. And boy, oh boy, am I going to... This is what everyone keeps saying to me. Like, oh, it took me about a year. And I was like, God, I'm going to have to live with my parents for another year. But it's okay. It's okay. I've got this. I've got my outlets.
You do. So, like, when was the first time you actually watched Kath and Kim or found out about it?
Do you know what? I can't remember. I can't put like a timestamp on it. I think my mum watched it when I was very young. So I was always sort of aware of it. And then it wasn't until I met you in uni that it kind of came to the forefront of my mind. And we started watching it together. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is all kind of coming into place. It wasn't until I watched it as like an adult, I understood what a gem of a television show it was.
You were a late bloomer like I was.
Late bloomer.
For me, it was like always just popping up as a recommender thing on Netflix. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? This is interesting. But then I never would actually go and click in it. I was always stuck in my old ways or just re-watching the same old stuff on Netflix. And then one day, I think I was like really hungover and I was like really fragile. And I was just like, do you know what? Fuck it. Let's try something new. And it was like watching that first episode was kind of a cure to my hangover, like a Barocca with the rehydration salts and a Lucozade Sport all at once. I felt refreshed. I felt refreshed. I felt ready to go.
Kath and Kim is the Dioralite of TV shows.
Yeah. And I think like its emergence recently, it's really kind of come out the woodworks again with shows like Drag Race being quoted or like having someone even impersonate Kath on the Snatch Game is like pretty iconic, to be honest.
I have a question. Since you bring up, I suppose, LGBT plus shows and like that sort of relevance, what is it about Kath and Kim that makes it such a cult show for the LGBT community, do you think? You could speak for all of for everyone.
I feel like it's kind of that noughties-esque. It's the outfits, it's the overplayed characters, it's like bitchy teenage daughter who thinks she's the bee's knees and the outfits that she's wear are horrendous, but they're also they're so ugly but fashion. Ugly but fashion.
But make it fashion.
Make it fashion. Make it work. And I think that it's very camp. I feel like it's very camp. They just do what they want to do, you know? And I'm like, go for it, babes. Plus,
yeah, live your life.
Sharon, Magda Subernasky. Oh God, I've butchered that name. She's a lesbian.
You're going to have to learn that. She's a lesbian.
Yeah, Sharon's a lesbian. And so,
she's a lesbian.
Yeah, learning these facts. So what our like thought process is, we're thinking of doing an episode where we would just review one episode, see how that goes. We might have a few segments here and there and maybe have some break episodes in between, because there's only 8 episodes per season. So we want this podcast to kind of last a while, you know. We don't want it to go like the snap of a finger. So
we need that sweet, sweet content.
We need that content.
We're here to give it to our listeners.
Emma, are you ready to get your teeth and nails into the first episode of Kath and Kim?
I'm so ready. I was born ready.
You were born ready, babes. So can you tell us what the first episode name was?
So the first ever episode was called Sex.
Yes, baby. Gorge.
Sex.
And to be fair, to have that as a title back in the 2000s is pretty out there, you know?
I mean, 2002.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, it was a pretty bloody backwards time, wasn't it? Like, it's actually mad.
It's weird because I was looking at when it aired. So as you said, Australia, it's 2002. UK, it was 2003. USA was 2004. Then I also saw, I think it came out online in the Philippines in 2017.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a resurgence.
I know. I feel like that also just shows the longevity of the show.
Mm.
We start off with the opening credits, probably one of the best opening credits. It just kicks you off and shows you the outfits that they're going to.
Exactly, like, who they are.
Yeah. And I have
also, so I think, I don't know if I'm completely correct, but I think there are sort of Australian comedy, like pop culture references in the credits as well. Because you know when Kim has got her back to the camera, and she's looking over her shoulder and she's got her little thong poking out of her dress.
Yeah.
That is a pop culture reference to, I think, like a footballer's wife back in 2000 or something. Oh my in God. Australia. I'm going to have to fact check that.
Yes.
But somebody actually wore that, like, seriously. Oh, Australians, man.
Yeah. I've been trying to find some facts or, like, things to kind of surprise you as we go through. Do you know the opening song is The Joker and it's originally by Shirley Bassey?
Right.
Do you know who actually sings the version in the opening credits?
No.
No, it's Kim.
Don't. I fucking knew you were going to say that. That's wild.
I know. I found that out today and I was like, she's got some pipes on her.
She's got some pipes, man. Yeah. She's wasted. Wasted as Kim. Wild.
I know.
What else have you got for me?
Well, no, I'm going to like tease you here and there, you know, so.
Classic.
We start off looking at like a pan down of the gorgeous home that Kath lives in.
A home that kind of reminds me of my grandma's a bit.
Oh, do you think they took influence from your grandma?
I think that's exactly what they've done, the thieving bloody bastards.
So Kath's like in her fancy room, her second lounge, which is the good room, and she's doing her iconic workout. Now, if you could explain what she's doing, that would be great.
I would love to, because the whole two times that I've been to the gym in my lifetime, this is all I did. So she's on a, are they called CrossFits?
Yes, I think so.
And almost as if independently from one another, her arms and her legs are moving independently. Couldn't think of like another word to say. But I think the real winner here and what really needs our undivided attention is not just what she's doing, but also what she's wearing. So she's got her little cycling shorts, grey, to really accentuate that tush. And then on top of that, a baby pink leotard, a look.
What
the first thing I noticed, under her leotard, sports bra-esque top, she has her normal day-to-day bra on. I thought that was a mood.
That's like, braception right there.
Braception. Because the thing is, you've got to be ready for anything when you're on and off that CrossFit all day. I respect it.
I mean, she has to keep that home the best it can be, you know?
Yeah.
So she's got to be ready to do anything that she needs.
And you can't be ready to do anything you need in 2002 with your tits out.
Does that mean you're going to start double braing from now on?
I'm free the nipple, you know. I am. I'd never dub it. It's 2022, babe. We're 20 years on. I could do a CrossFit and clean the house. Yeah. All with my tits out.
All with your tits out. That's what I like to hear, Emma.
Kath could learn a thing or two from me and my generation.
The next thing you know, she's in her zone. She's doing her buddy workout. She's like girl bossing that. Mm-hmm. And then she sees someone through the window. And who do you think that is?
Oh, no, it's bloody Kim.
Kim. And we have to apologise for the horrible Australian accents that we're going to be trying to do throughout this.
What do you mean horrible?
Give us your best line then.
I nail it. I've been Delusion. Told I nail it.
Delusion.
Delusion.
We find out that Kim has broken up with Brett and her life is over.
Hello, I'm moving back home. That was me, 2020.
2020, a pandemic.
Mom, coming home.
Your mum is literally Kathy, like, no, stay away.
She wishes.
Well, did your mum replace your bedroom with a second gym?
No, but they did turn it into a guest room.
Did they?
Yeah, they made it all, like, they put, like, fresh flowers in here, and they, like, they put bedding, and then this weird, like, painting on the wall that matched the bed. Like, it was a fucking, like, they were Airbnb-ing it out. And it took me a good 6 months to get things back to where I like them.
You had to Marie Kondo the room back together.
I really did.
Like, I'm pretty sure you had a realisation, because we were like, who out of the two, main two, would we be? And I was like, I'm pretty sure I'd love to be Kath. And I have some Kath qualities. And you were like, you wanted to be Kath and had some Kath qualities.
I thought I was so sure I was Kath. Wait, what are your Kath qualities?
Well, so having a think, to name a few, I feel like I can lift people up when they need it, but can also take them down a notch when they need it as well.
That's true. You can be a right bitch.
There's a bit of me that's high maintenance. Emma can vouch for
that. Just a bit.
Just a smidge. I feel like I have really good hair when I can get it right.
Just like Kath.
And if I could rock a perm, I probably would. I also enjoy a pop of colour here and there, you know?
You do like a pop of colour, my love.
Give me some colour. How would we describe yourself? What qualities of Kim do you have?
Well, I always thought I was a bit of Kath, to be honest.
So you've had to reevaluate your life, kind of.
Well, I mean, since the pandemic, I have had to reevaluate my life and, frankly, who I am as a person. You know, I'm unemployed. I'm living with my parents. I'm good for bloody nothing. I'm Kim. Can't be denied.
What attributes do you have?
Oh, like personality traits.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. I'm quite selfish. I think people around me would say that.
Well, maybe sometimes.
Oh my God,
maybe.
Really?
No, you're not.
Is this just for the recording, or are you trying to tell me something?
Well, you've got it on receipts now, babes. You got it on receipts. So no, you're definitely not.
My boyfriend called me selfish the other day.
Really? Why? You said it.
Because I think we must have been having, we were bickering. When I say bickering, I mean bloody arguing. And here
so you are, Kim.
What about my feelings? What about my feelings? It's all about you. And I was like, yeah. And your point is?
You really so are showing Kim. Some Kim qualities.
Honestly, I've really regressed as a person since moving home. I do not recommend moving back in your mid-20s because it's just like, who am I?
The thing, yeah, you're having to deal with a lot though. You've kind of had to go back to the way that you were used to for so long. And then you were able to kind of be free, kind of flourish, and then you kind of had to go back again, and you've not been able to kind of even really leave the house. So I don't blame you for moaning, for being selfish when you need to be. You know what? You know what you want. You're like, you know what you want and you'll get it.
Thanks, babe. Wow. Who knew that this would also be a therapy session? Have you got anything you'd like to get off your chest?
You're a bitch.
P.S. You're a bitch.
P.S. You're a bitch. No. Well, you never know. Something might come up. As it goes on, as we realise who we really are as people.
And that's the power of Kath and Kim, isn't it, really? But now I know who I am, aka Kim, I can make those changes and take those steps within myself and within my life to become more Kath.
Mm. And maybe I need some Kim qualities to really get what I want in life, you know? I don't want to be stamped on and all of that type of jazz.
Sometimes you do have to put yourself first.
Mm.
Remember that.
I will, Kim. Thank you. One thing I find a bit strange in the first episode, I mean, it kind of happens like throughout, which is there like occasional random voiceovers where they're like...
Oh, like the mockumentary style.
The mockumentary monologue type thing. And it really gives me Sex and the City season one vibes, where Carrie would just look at the camera and break the fourth wall and would say a few things. And then that stopped after the first season. And it just, I feel like it kind of happened throughout the other couple of series, but just it wasn't enough for when it didn't.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think if you're going to do like a mockumentary, and listen up, filmmakers and TV producers, I think if you're going to do a mockumentary style, which when done well, like, is very good and very funny, but you've got to really commit, like, you do have to have those sit down interviews, like The Office, like Modern Family.
Yeah,
you can't just sprinkle some voiceovers here and there and think, well, I'm done and dusted. It just takes away from it, in my opinion.
Well, if you like, I can try and find the production company's email and you can tell them your thoughts.
Let's get them on. Let's do some hard-hitting journalism.
Yes.
Journalism.
So after all of the shenanigans with the Kim and Kath kind of getting into a little bit of a bicker, an argument, a look at my place...
Look at Moy.
Kel actually comes and picks up Kath for the first time.
And we meet my sweet baby Kel.
Your sweet, sweet baby Kel.
I just think he's so cute. He's a bit of a wet wipe. I would go for him.
Well, do you know what? I have a confession to make.
Oh, God, what is it?
Do you know, there's those celebrities that you have an unusual attraction to. Kel is one of those.
I find him quite attractive.
So it's a bit of a weird one.
You find him attractive?
Yeah, he's a bit good looking.
As in Kel the character? Or have you seen images of the actor?
No, Kel the character.
Oh, Connor.
Do you know, there's something about his fringe. There's something about his open chest.
Stop
when he carries his man purse and talks about sausages.
That fringe will, that, like, how do you describe it? Like gelled pieces coming, like, down his forehead.
It was
big in the 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, boys at school would kind of wear it like that. Like PJ and Duncan. Those kind of vibes.
Mm. I honestly,
am I right?
Yeah, no, PJ, I don't. Well, I'm nodding and I'm, but I've never heard of PJ and Duncan before.
Right, hang on. Let me just get a...
Give us a
Ant
brief.
Ant and Dec.
Is it Ant and Dec?
Yeah, it's the characters that made the... Oh.
Are you wrong?
Oh, kind of. No, am I wrong? Am I right? I'm going to type in PJ and Duncan. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hang on.
So what are you seeing right now? Oh, wow.
And if you don't get that reference, please Google PJ and Duncan fringe. Just those words. And then you'll get a taste of what fringes like that were huge in the early 2000s. Mm. And I'm really worried that in the wake of the Y2K resurgence, that fringe is also going to come back.
I mean, the mullets have come back, so the fringes are going to come back.
Low-rise jeans have come back. And if low-rise jeans can come back, Connor, anything could fucking happen.
I mean, the day that I see you in low-rise jeans will be the day that we can't be friends anymore.
You won't see it. You know why? Because I will look like... I'll not only will I embody Kim as a personality, but I'll look like her.
You have your thong out at the back.
I'll have my thong out. I'll have my thong out. My little tush will be out. Nice. Like coming over the jeans slightly.
And you'll have some nice wedged high heel sandals with your toes, yeah. Cliffhanger toes.
Oof. I'll get my toenails done, but I'll get like acrylic toenails. So they're a little bit too long. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Well, we have the whole awkward interaction of Kel meeting Kim for the first time, and they're in the kitchen and it is just pure chaos. And I honestly could not stop laughing. It's a very like used joke, but when he was like, Kim, how many weeks are you to her in a crop top? It was just one of those moments. Kath and Kel decide, well, they're going to go out on their date. Kim is like, your breath stinks. You've got to get your, was it Veruca cream sorted and stuff like that. And I just love it how she uses the breath mint and sprays her ass with it when she sprays it across her body.
What is that?
She spritzed her mouth a few times and then she would just spray it like...
She wants... Minty fresh air.
Yeah. And then we have kind of just Kim contemplating like going on, you know,
Kim doesn't like Kel.
No.
Does she?
No.
Even though he's a dreamboat and a sweet, sweet cupcake angel of a man.
Yes.
But she's, as we have already discussed, a nasty, nasty woman, nasty girl. So during their date, Kath and Kel share a lovely romantical dance in the kitchen.
And when I mean romantical,
I mean romantical, baby. Crotches are touching. Lips are a smooching.
What type of dance style would you say that was? Was it a tango?
Oh, I was just going to go flat out umbrella term ballroom.
Ballroom. Okay, yeah, that makes, yeah.
I mean, don't ask me to name the type of dances, but Strictly's been off the air for a good few months now. I don't know. But the point is, Kath thinks she's going to be proposed to.
Yes.
And we as viewers think she's going to be proposed to.
And then that turns out to be a facade.
A lie. So the morning after, so they get down and jiggy with it. Turns out he's not proposing to her. He just wants to shag her.
On the kitchen table.
On the kitchen table. So the morning after, we meet everybody in the kitchen once more, breakfast, bedhead, etc., etc. And then we meet possibly the best character to come out of this show. And that's a big statement because you know I love these characters. But the best character to come out of this show, Sharon. And she enters in a lovely little netball ensemble.
Yes, with the iconic netball outfit. I feel like if you had to choose one character, not Kath and Kim, you would self-identify with Sharon, wouldn't you? or have I got that wrong?
I think you've got that wrong. And I'm going to try really hard to be a professional and
I'm so sorry.
Not take offence. It's the fact that you think that I'd be Sharon.
No, but I thought because you loved her so much that you were like, oh, I
like a lovable buffoon. If I'd have said it, it would have been fine. But you said it. So it's hurtful.
I'm sorry.
To be honest with you, I thought I was more Kel. If I wasn't giving really? A couple of him, I'd be Kel. Because I might be selfish and I might be nasty. But underneath it all,
you make a great sausage.
I make a great sausage.
And you have a lovely man bag.
I have a bag of man, yeah.
You have a bag of man. Okay, no, I would, I feel like
take
I
it back.
Have,
take it back. I take it back. What you said.
I take it back. I feel like I have some Sharon qualities, you know. There's
what
always
are your
some
Sharon qualities.
I've always, well, I don't always have an injury.
You can cry
just,
on cue.
I can cry on cue. I rummage through the bins a lot. I am a second best friend to someone.
Yeah. Me.
Yeah. Yeah. You after this.
After this.
So she kind of like just fits in as a family member there, you know. She's like the younger daughter. So Kim finds it absolutely vile, disgusting that Kath and Kel had sex last night. She was in
hates Kel, doesn't she?
She is fucking fuming. She is. And
Fuming.
And I just thought it was really funny. She was like sharing my life and my bed at this time when she talks about Kel.
Oh, when Kath talks about Kel.
Yeah, to Kim. You know, I'm just sharing my life and my bed.
At this time.
At this time. Basically, this is where things start to get a bit juicy because Kim thinks Brett is potentially cheating on her.
Yes. And also, so Kim thinks Brett's cheating on her, has a breakdown, as you would do, I suppose. I don't begrudge her that. And she says to her mum and Sharon that she just wants to be affluent. And Kath, being who she is, says, "You are affluent, Kim. You've got a DVD player." And that's when I realised that I'd hit rock bottom personally, because I don't even own a DVD player.
Oh, no. You're below Kim.
I'm not even Kim anymore. I'm below Kim. Once you hit Kim.
Yeah. Yeah. You hit rock
you
bottom.
You can go. Yeah. You can go lower, it turns out.
So would you say Sharon is lower than Kim?
It's a difficult one. Because if we were to rate. Oh, it's a difficult one. It depends what you value in a person and out of life.
Yeah.
Because Kim needs. Let's get deep. Because Kim needs other people's approval to feel good about herself.
That's true.
Kim needs a man to feel good about herself. Kim only is only, you know, her beauty is only really skin deep. Whereas Sharon, while she may not be able to get a man, realizes that that's not what life is all about. She's got her shot put. She's got her netball. She's got her women's football team. And she's, well, she's relatively happy. And if we're not striving for that, I don't know what we're striving for.
So would you say to yourself right now, are you relatively happy?
Relatively, yeah. Or maybe, maybe I am a Sharon. Also, Sharon's nice.
Sharon's a nice She's person. A good friend and she cares about people
friend.
A lot.
She cares about people. I'd say Kim is below Sharon.
I agree, yeah. There's like a tipping scale between them. I feel like each episode their rank changes depending on how their attitude is.
And you know what? It actually annoys me. Now we've talked it out, it really annoys me how Sharon is made out to be the loser. When she's not, it's Kim. Kim's the fucking loser. Sharon's brilliant. Sharon's a brilliant person.
So are you not mad that I called you Sharon?
No, I take it all back. I'm sorry for getting so mad.
That's,
call
do you know
me
what?
Sharon,
that's
baby.
That's what I needed. And that's just the Kath behaviour that I am. I'm trying to lift you up by calling you Sharon.
Yeah. I recognise that now.
We then move on to another saucy scene, which is the Kath and Kel's like exercise routine that they're doing.
The stretchers.
You've had a run-in with these stretchers before, haven't you?
Yeah, I'd say so. But again, this is just the Sharon in me. I was trying to help. So let's first describe the stretchers. I don't know how. Kath is on her back. Kel's got one of her legs over his shoulder. And they're almost going face to face, really stretching out that hamstring.
And his groin's touching her groin.
Yes. Now I really don't want to tell this story. Jenny's gonna fucking kill me. I did a similar stretch. My housemate at the time, Jenny, she had a bad leg And she was like, oh, I just feel like I need like a good stretch.
Mm.
And I was like, say no more, Jenny. Stop hinting, love. I'll do it. And so unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize that it was on Kath and Kim at this point. I was just being my usual Sharon self and trying to help out. I gave it a good stretch. We went nose to nose. Nose to nose, groin to groin. And you know what? Well, actually, I don't think I made that much of a difference to her leg. I think it was a different issue. But I stretched it.
Did you make it worse?
I didn't make it worse. I just didn't make it better.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
It was unnecessary. There was no point for that awkward.
No.
I mean, we were literally right there. Nose to nose. No need for it. But that's just the Sharon in me.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, that just goes to show your true dedication to friendship and to stretches.
Mm.
Because if I didn't have known anything, I would have thought that you were probably a personal trainer the way that you went into those stretches. So
I mean, maybe that's what I should do. I hate the gym, though. I just hate it. I can't even do, like, what lockdown did teach me is I can't even do the home exercises. Like, I hate it all. And I tried to get into the Joe Wicks thing. I tried to get my whole, like, Kath on.
Do you know what you need to do? You need to do what Kath and Kel do and just do couples workouts. Get some stretching with your boyfriend.
I can promise you that's not going to happen. Not in a million years.
Well, you're more than welcome to do some stretches with me sometime.
Thanks, babe.
The hesitation.
Tune in next week for, we could do a Kath workout.
A Kath workout DVD extraordinaire. On a side note, it was, you talked about that PE teacher in the UK who did gym stuff over lockdown. What was his name?
Joe Wicks.
There was a clip on Loose Women and it was like the end of the show, but they didn't turn off one of the women's mics. She goes, I really hate him. There's something about him that I really hate.
So do I. I think he's a bell end.
He got caught on camera. So you've got some, so you have some relatability with Sharon and the Loose Women.
Oh God, that's a really sad state of affairs, isn't it? I don't want to be a loose woman. But I do think he's a bell end. And to be honest with you, that's nothing, like, that's strong of me to say, because I don't know him as a person, nor have I really given, I haven't opened my heart to him.
No.
But I think it's just my hatred of PE teachers. That's all it is. That's all I'm basing it on.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. I know, and it's not right, and it's not fair, but that's...
But it's
that's
okay. It's not right, but it's okay.
But it is okay.
You're going to make it
anyway. I mean, if you're going to choose such a wanky profession and then have the audacity to make millions and millions of pounds out of it... You're a PE teacher. Anyone could have done that.
You're just jealous that you didn't get to do it first.
Yeah, I'm just jealous. I didn't fucking think of it. Anyway.
As I said earlier, good things come to those who wait.
Do they?
So Sharon, being the absolute icon, queen, legend that she is, she offers to follow Brett for Kim. She stakes out at his house. And she sees him dancing with a dog. And
But remember, she's got her eye patch.
She's got her eye patch.
And her vision is...
Her vision is a bit blurred. Dodgy. And it's kind of like Emma's eyes right now because she's wearing glasses. So
I know. I recently... Thank you for bringing it up. I thought you were going to go the whole episode without bringing up my new glasses.
They're great. I love the spectacles. Yeah.
I'm into it. I think they make you look so distinguished. Yeah, I'm blind as a bat, it turns out. So actually, here's a little anecdote for you. So I've started driving and I was kind of like... struggling to see, lol lol lol, how funny, ha ha ha. Should probably go and get my eyes tested. Now I haven't had my eyes tested since I was 7 years old.
Really?
So that's about 18 years if my math is correct. Which it probably isn't.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I haven't had them tested since I was 7 years old, because when I was seven, I have a lazy eye. I struggle, I share it with millions of others up and down the country. I have a lazy eye. It's very common. No, it doesn't fly off. It's just a little bit weaker, okay? But to try and combat this, when I was 7, they made me wear an eye patch.
Really?
And that is not a lie. I'm going to find a picture for you.
Oh, my God.
And Sharon.
Also, Sharon, I feel like you two were a match made in heaven.
Maybe we were. And so, yeah. So I finally went to go and get my glasses, well, my eyes tested. And I was like, please, I literally said to the guy, I was like, please don't make me wear an eye patch. I was like, I'm in my mid-20s.
He was like,
wear an eye patch.
He was like, we don't do that anymore. That was barbaric.
Genuinely, he was like, yeah, no, we don't really do that anymore. It's like, Christ. So I've been putting off coming to you for the last nearly 20 years. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, you really should have. Blind as a bat. He kept going, can you see this? No. Can you see this? No.
Wow, I don't know how. So life is clear now.
It's wild. I suggest, like, it's crazy how much I can see now. I suggest everybody goes to get their eyes tested.
Yes, PSA from Emma, safety announcement.
Get your bloody eyes tested.
Yeah, don't do what Emma did.
Don't drive blind. It was mad. I couldn't see the turning in the road, like, you know, when there's a junction.
Oh my God.
I know.
Wow. I'm surprised you managed to make your makeup look so good considering you can't see.
Can't see. Well, it's all muscle memory at this point, isn't it?
So we digress, but
we do.
Kel nearly proposes to Kath again in the car. He's been such a little tease, he is. But Kim comes and disrupts that beautiful moment because, you know, with a water gun. Because you know why? Kim hates
she's a bitch.
Kel.
Kim hates Kel.
Kim hates Kel. Sharon actually gets back from
the stalking
incident, yeah. And she lets Kim know about the cheater, but she can't explain who the cheater actually was because her eye patch and then her good eye wasn't good from the last sport that she did, so... She has
one of her myriad of sport. But one thing she does say is, I think she looked a bit like you.
And that,
very important part that we can't miss out.
That set everything in stone there. That set the wheels in motion.
The wheels are in motion.
Yeah, Sharon goes to record Brett. So she's kind of just gone off. And in the meantime, we get to see Kath, which I think with the first time with her iconic parrot earrings, and she's in the TV store. Would you say TV store? What was it called?
Kind of like our version of Curry's and PC World. They're in a mall.
Electronic store.
Electronic? Yeah, I don't know. I get it all online now.
Yeah. So they're in the store and something special happens.
Oh, it's so romantic. It's just classic Kel. What he does.
What does he do?
What he does. What he goes and does. So bloody lovely. So this is the thing. Like in the early 2000s, the 90s or whatever, when they sold TVs, they obviously had like walls of TVs and you could put your face in the camera and then it comes up on all the TVs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe they still do it today. I just haven't been in a TV shop in, well, ever. I think I've got those funds. Nope. But what was really cute is Kel got himself on all of the tellies and in front of the whole mall, finally proposes to Kath.
Yes.
And she's so excited. It's so cute. And I've decided that's how I'd like to be proposed to.
Okay. So we've got this on record now, so it will be used. Yeah. Except you've never been in a TV store, so...
Never stepped foot in one.
Never stepped foot.
But I've decided that's how I want it to happen.
To be fair, it'll be like going to a place for the first time ever, creating memories, you know? Mm. You'll get to experience life truly as it is in an electronic store.
I really think we're romanticising an electronic store, though. Have you ever seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
So you know how he works in like an electronic store and Shaun of the Dead, and it's like the most depressing place on earth. I take it back. I like the romantic gesture.
Well,
not necessarily. It's the gesture, not the TV store I'm after.
So out of the many brands, would you rather get proposed in Curry's or PC World? That's the same place, isn't it?
Same place.
Okay,
rookie error.
You kill two birds with one stone, babes. You get to go to both of them.
Well, this is the thing, Connor. I mean, name me an electronic store that isn't Currys or PC World.
Argos? But it's not really a store. It's more online.
Argos is weird, though, isn't it? Mm. You can't.
You can't. No.
So, Apple? So you're very limited. Oh, I guess Apple. Oh, I definitely want it to be Apple over. No, but then Apple, I find Apple stores very intimidating.
They are, and it's just a bit much going on.
There is too much going on. And I'm sorry to generalize, but I'm gonna. Every time, well, I've only been in an Apple store a handful of times, but there's always wankers in there. Have you ever noticed that?
So, yeah, it's a lot of people that have got the money to actually spend to go buy an electronic item up front as well.
Wankers and me, obviously.
Yeah, but you went in there. You didn't buy anything, did you?
I went in there because I smashed my bloody phone screen.
Oh, no. Did you try and get a free replacement?
No, but fair play to them. They were very, very helpful. And something to do with my warranty, they basically replaced it for free.
Oh, okay.
So someone's not lucky. Sponsored by Apple.
We're coming to the end of the episode, and this is where, like, the peak comedy hits. Sharon gets back to the house and has the recording of the supposed cheater.
Brett and his cheating ways.
Yeah. It turns out that the person that looked like Kim was the dog.
It wasn't a person at all. It was a dog.
And then
it's a dog, Sharon.
And what makes it worse is then Sharon just goes and snogs Brett.
Do you know what? I respect her for this. She sees her moment. She seizes that opportunity and she takes it.
I mean, do you know what? This also further enforces your Sharon-ness. You cackled. You laughed. Not in a bad way. You had a great time when that happened. And I think
I was just so proud of her.
Deep down, you knew you were a bit of Sharon inside.
Yeah, but also what we have to bear in mind is she did not have Brett's consent to grab and snog him like that.
That's true.
So, naughty Sharon.
No, we don't condone that.
We don't condone that, but it was funny.
Basically, Kim's pissed off and has a go at Sharon. And Sharon's just trying to be her, you know, be a nice self. And then Kath and Kel come in. With their big news that they're
engaged.
Yay. Sharon and Kim are both going to be bridesmaids.
Yeah, they are.
And then that's the end of the first episode. And then the credits roll. And during the credits, they have the garden chats, which, oh my God. So basically, what? I'm recording in the living room. There's a cat that's just popped to the window. He's old. His name's Tom. He's a ginger cat. Aww. He has a thyroid, like an overactive thyroid. We haven't seen him for like 9 months and we thought he was dead.
Oh.
Can you hear?
I've heard him meow.
Yeah. Move the microphone. I'm shook. I just haven't seen him for so long.
He's back. And then
Tom is back.
It's all that Kath and Kim talk.
It's all the Kath and Kim talk.
Do you feed him? Do you like let him in?
No, we haven't fed him. He has been in a few times, but since Dan's moved in, he's allergic to cats, so.
Oh.
We can't have no pussies in here. And we came to the conclusion that the garden chats were improvised.
I mean, fact check it, but I'm convinced they were.
I feel like at the end of each episode, we should kind of go for our favourite quote quickly of the episode.
Okay, quick fire, favourite quote. Do it in an accent.
Okay. My life is over. O-V-A-H.
That was terrible.
I know.
That was a bad accent.
I know. Your
funny
turn.
Quote, though. Well, it's also from Kim. I'm not a housewife. I'm a hornbag. I think I'm going to get that tattooed on me. I've decided that I want to, like,
have a sleeve of Kath and Kim quotes.
Have a sleeve of Kath. Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. But no, just kind of like add, maybe have like little bits here. Mm, up here.
You've got to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
You've got some lovely tattoos on there.
Thanks, babe. I've got two. And they're not that lovely. But that's for another day.
That's for another episode. It'd be good to finish this off with another Kath and Kim fact.
Yes, please.
So this one, the characters of Kath and Kim and Sham first appeared on a comedy sketch show called Big Girls Blouse. So the characters had a very good response that they kind of wanted to make a TV show out of them. And there was enough material to make the TV show as well. But then 3 days before production was due to begin, ABC pulled the pin. They had a phone call saying that they had decided not to go ahead with Kath and Kim. And they
were like, what?
And they were like, we've already wrote the script. What about this? What about that? And they were like, we're too far in. So then they put it back into production again. There was a moment where Kath and Kim wasn't going to be.
3 days before production. Like, they would have sorted everything. That's unprofessional.
It is.
That's unprofessional. But I'm glad it all worked out.
Yes. Thank you, Emma, for the first episode.
Thank you, Connor, for the first episode.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.